Hey, crew. Thank you, leaders, for leading. And so this is my first of a couple of powwows that I will do about the different lessons. And so, sorry, this one's a little late. I'm going to do Daniel 2 today. I'm also going to record Daniel 3 for you guys for next week. Daniel 2 is a longer chapter, and there's a couple things going on. And so you'll probably have to, one of the ways you can ask them to divide it out is, you know, what are the different parts? You can kind of break it out into part A, B, and C, and then dissect it that way. Daniel 2 through chapter 7 are actually written in Aramaic, and that I don't know that your group would ever know that or that it matters, but Daniel 2 through 7 shift in the language, maybe some of the usage of words and translation, because they were seen as being a part of the story that was meant for a broader audience. Daniel 2, we continue with Daniel and his friends are in this. And it's a clarification. It continued with the theme of power. God's power, divine power versus human power. The gift of God's wisdom we see again, and knowledge and insight that would be impossible without divine intercession or help. And so in some ways, this chapter is written to be like, oh, no way. That's impossible. Almost shocking. And we see the shock in the response to the demands of our King Nebuchadnezzar. Couple themes or a couple topics that come out in chapter 2. One is just the idea of a prophetic prediction. So a couple commentators said, this is the essence of a prophetic vision. And so a prophetic vision being one that is seen by someone that is interpreted, that comes in some way to fruition over time. In the Bible, the prophets, there were lots of people who were prophets who had visions or dreams that made predictions. Some of them we don't know about because they didn't really come true, their prophetic visions. Others were persecuted for them because they predicted doom and gloom. So prophets weren't really particularly popular people. But then for some of the prophets, their predictions, what they see, comes true. And so this, of course, is written later in history. So that, you know, we see some of these things unfold, but it's a prediction, a prophetic vision, a prediction of what's to come in the world order. Another interesting thing that relates to the prophetic vision is visions and dreams. And so while it's interesting, Daniel, we're told, has a night vision of this particular dream that he's called to interpret. A vision is a scene while you're awake. Nebuchadnezzar has this reoccurring dream, which is really in it when he is asleep. It'll be interesting to see what your group thinks about divine inspiration or challenge or warning through visions and dreams. Certainly there's some visions and dreams, some hearing of angels and seeing in the birth narrative. I think it is Joseph of Mary and Joseph is spoken to through a dream and told to leave the region and to flee to Egypt because of Herod. You know, my group last week, I challenged them and one of them said, oh, I'm so interested in dreams and the Bible. So there's 16 instances of interpretations of seeing and interpreting dreams. Several of those are in Daniel. Other ones in the Old Testament that stand out to me is, Jacob is a seer of dreams and often understands his own dreams of what the significance is. Think of Jacob's ladder. Joseph, the coat of many colors, Joseph, who is sold into slavery because of the coat of many colors. He's sold into slavery to Egypt by his brothers. His dreams and interpretations are in Genesis 40, and he gains favor with Pharaoh because he is ultimately also able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And so you have this sort of archetype of a hero who gains favor with a foreign power because of their ability through God's inspiration or revelation to interpret dreams. Kind of really interesting. I find in the general population of faith that there's some people that are very visionary. They see images and visions. Also, there's dreamers. There's a lot of us who are not and cannot remember maybe a dream in our life. But there are people who have really vivid and interesting dreams. And so that might be an interesting moment to ask as the application, if there's people in your group who see themselves as people who have had lots of dreams. Let me go. I'm just going to skim through some of the notes I made on Daniel 2 in my own study, but I'm going to reference it, the lines and not the scripture passage, right? So in your book, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed such dreams. It's interesting. They say the timing's kind of off, right? We know that Daniel and his friends were trained for 3 years. It seems like they're already in the service of the court at this point, which would be the second year. Most commentators just kind of think it's a mistake that was allowed to stay, or it's a numbering thing. That is how they're numbering Nebuchadnezzar's time there and not Daniel. So anyway, I just thought I would note that. The king commands this group of four, and they're named different times, different ways, but the magicians, the enchanters, sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. Chaldeans were a group of people that lived from the lower Euphrates, Tigris rivers in that area, and they were sort of known for being wise, and so they are included in this group of people that are considered endowed with magical powers and wisdom. And so it is this group that the king calls to help with his dreams. Okay. In line 7, that's where it says the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic. There's that shift to Aramaic, actually. Okay. So, so this first kind of lines 1 through 26 set up our plot. Right, that, and there's just lots of repetition of the demand of the king, 1, 2, 3 times. And they're saying, this is impossible, right? So anytime we have this repetition of 3, it's just to reinforce the impossibility. Line 16 has the word, there's one verdict. It's interesting, verdict, that sticks out to me, that comes up later. 2, the verdict, I haven't done a word study on that, but it, to me, it speaks of judge. Who's the judge? And so one of the questions in Daniel is who has power, who allocates power and wisdom and knowledge, and who is the judge, right? And so in this passage, the king wants to be the judge, and yet we will hear later about God claiming the right to be the judge. Okay. So we have the setting of the scene, the impossibility, and then we have line 27 on, we have Daniel, right? Come into the scene. Daniel as the one who can intervene, who has the power, who has the wisdom because of this God that Daniel worships that's unique from the other gods. Right? And so Daniel goes to his friends and says, hey, seek mercy. Actual word is seek compassion, seek favor from our God in heaven concerning this mystery. And so Daniel has a vision in the night. And it's interesting, at line 36 kind of goes into this new sort of totally different tone, 36 through 42, that almost reads like a psalm of praise, right? That it speaks, it steps out of the narrative to have Daniel sing a song, say a prayer, sort of a psalter of saying, praise my God. So then Daniel goes and goes again in front of King Nebuchadnezzar. And he is able to see this dream. And so again, if we look at sections, right, we have the setting of the scene is your first section. Okay, hey, I'm over my time. I'm trying to go. I'm trying to wrap up. Here we go. Okay, so our last scene is Daniel interpreting the dream. And so he tells the dream back to Nebuchadnezzar, and he then also can interpret it for him. Line 49, Daniel answers the king, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or diviners can show. So again, that's the four, and it's the fourth time that we mention those, right? I don't know what the significance of four is in that passage. Line 51, but there is a God in heaven, right? So this my God, your God, who reveals mysteries. The other words without mysteries are the secrets, that is hidden to humans. And this God has disclosed to King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the end of the days. Okay, so that's your prophetic line right there. You have seen a vision of what will happen. Okay. And then your last section is all about these kingdoms. It speaks to the statue. There's some really interesting images of this on Google Images, but the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire, which will expand once and then contract and then be a second time, the reign of the Roman Empire. 74, line 74, the kingdom of bronze, which will rule the whole earth. One commentator talks about how that relates to Alexander the Great. And then we have this stone, right? As we look down at, what line is our stone in? Stone, line 84. So the stone is throne that is cut from a mountain. Often in the Old Testament prophets, the mountain, we have the mountain of God. In Amos, we have all the nations streaming to the mountain of God. And so too in this passage, the stone being Christ, who is cut from the mountain of God. And this crushes these different kingdoms. It's kind of right. Crushes the statue. Kind of an interesting image, interesting for interpretation. What does it mean? What would have that meant to them? What does it mean to us? And so the resolution is that through this interpretation, King Nebuchadnezzar worships Daniel, right? Okay, there we go. I'm at 14 minutes. Sorry, I'm long. This was a long chapter. I think this chapter, the challenge will be not getting into the weeds of everything, but encouraging people to do a little research again to follow up on if they have like a burning question. I, with my group last week, said, hey, report back what you, somebody wanted to research dreams. And so maybe you give them 2 minutes at the beginning of the next time to research what they think is most interesting. This is a long chapter, so it does take a little more work. We have more visions and dreams coming up too. So that conversation will continue. Hey, thank you, leaders. Have a great week. Bye.